Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed.
Hi there. Welcome to the program. My name is Shaladio. Welcome to episode 37 of our series on how to believe God for a spouse. In this series, I am sharing fundamental spiritual principles that will help single men and women to believe God for a spouse and to also find their spouse. I will be sharing core principles of confessions, faith, hope, the seed principle, prayer, discernment, and so on. This series will apply to both men and women. I want to share this prayer with you before we start. Please make this a daily prayer. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 and 18. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray today, and I ask for an outpouring of the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon us today that will cause us to come into an understanding of the way you walk and the way you operate, so that we can walk the same way you walk and operate the same way you operate and get the same results that you get. Lord, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I continue to share on how to deal with difficult situations that have lingered for so long in your life, using God's word with respect to believing God for a spouse. I mean, you've done different things over the years. You've attended anointing services. You've gone into prayer and fasting. You've visited prophets, and you've done all sorts. But still yet, nothing has changed. Nothing has moved. But one thing I know is that the word of God can never fail. The word of God never fails. And when you hit situations like this, it is time for you to go back into the word of God and hold on to God's word, because God's word cannot fail. It can never fail. So that's why we are sharing on how to use God's word, how to get into God's word, or how to employ God's word to deal with situations that have lingered on for so long. Now, 2 weeks ago that I started on this, I brought out Romans chapter 10 verses 6 to 10, and it's especially the part that says that the word of faith is nigh thee in thy mouth and even in thine heart. So here we see that God's word has to be in two primary places in your life: your heart and your mouth. And the way it gets into your heart is through your mouth, because Bible says that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it means that your faith is developed, is born through a hearing of words, a hearing particularly of the words of God. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that when she heard about Jesus, so she heard something that she then said in her heart, that if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So she heard something. She heard the word of God. She heard the works of God, and faith was born in her heart, and then she said something. So from the moment in her house, from that moment in her house, she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So from that point, she began to say it in her heart, that I am going there, out there, to meet Jesus, and as I touch his garment, I shall be made whole. So you see, what you say to yourself matters a lot. But before we get into the full gist that we have for today, I just want to reinforce something again about speaking of words and using the word of God spoken out of our lips to deal with difficult situations and to overcome difficult situations. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis Genesis chapter 1, I'll read verse 26. It says, "And God said," now this was during creation time, "and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So we see here that the original intention in God's mind was to create a man in his own image and after his own likeness. So it meant that God was creating an earthly replica of himself. So he was producing a replication of himself. Now, what is a replica? A replica is something that does exactly the same as the original. So when you put an original and a replica beside each other, they do exactly the same thing, even though in real life they are considered as separate entities. So what we have here is that God made man in his own image to do exactly the same thing that he does on the earth. So the human being was created as an earthly replica of God in the physical dimension. So the human being was to exercise dominion on the earth the same way God exercised dominion in heaven and on earth as well. And let's see. So if God has made man in his own image and after his own likeness, it then follows that God expects us as human beings, operating in his will and operating at his level, to react the same way he also reacts to situations, to react the same way he reacts to challenges. And that is the whole essence of you being in the image of God and after his own likeness. And you see, frustration comes as a result of us not realizing that we are in his image and after his likeness, which is the whole essence of what Satan came to do. Satan came to rob us of that image and likeness and the consciousness of it. But what Jesus Christ came to do was to put us back into the original image. He came to restore us back. He came to plug us back into that place where God said he actually made us into, which is in his image and after his likeness. But then we want to find out, how does God operate? How does he react to things? How does he deal with difficult situations? The way we can find out is by going into Genesis chapter 1. We read verses 1 to 4. It says, "In the beginning God created the earth, heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void." So we see that there is a problem. A problem came through here, that the earth became without form and the earth became void. "And darkness was upon the face of the deep." So we see here that there was chaos all over the place. The earth became a chaotic mess after God had created it. And then the Bible goes on to say, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So we see here that even though there was chaos, there was a divine activity that began to go on. And what was that divine activity? The Bible says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So we see here that your first response really should be the Spirit, bringing the Spirit of God into your situation. He says the Spirit of God began to move, began to hover upon the face of the waters. So we see here that as soon as something breaks out, something you don't understand, something that is chaotic, something that is wrong, it is time to bring in the Spirit of God. It is time to involve the Spirit of God. It is time to contact the Spirit of God. It is time to begin to over upon that situation with the Spirit of God. And what came out of that activity, we'll find out in verse 3. It says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." So we see something here. That number one, the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. So we need to bring the Spirit of God into any situation in which we have found ourselves. That is the time for you to pray in tongues. That is the time for you to begin to, you know, I mean, to begin to make your connection, to begin to do things, to begin to contact the Spirit of God, to begin to depend on the Spirit of God, to begin to listen to the Spirit of God. And what came out of it in verse 3, it was that God saw darkness around him. There was darkness all over the place. And then the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So you see, this was how God treated the issue of darkness. He did not come out to lament that, oh, how come there is darkness here? And I expected light to be here. And see, there's darkness all over the place. God never said any such thing. God did not pick up the telephone and begin to hold a conversation with Angel Michael that, look, I am just frustrated. I'm just totally frustrated. I mean, I created heaven and earth, see, and the whole thing is darkness. He did not hold that conversation with Angel Michael. What he did, the Bible says that, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we see that this was how God reacted to that situation. And this is how, exactly how God expects us to react to every situation, to contact the Spirit of God, to listen to the Spirit of God, and to come out with words given to us by the Spirit of God, and to speak those words, and those words will go into that situation and transform that situation into our desired outcome. God's desired outcome was light, but there was darkness all over, and he spoke light, and light happened. So if you want great things to happen in your life, it is not the time to lament with people of the world, to say, to agree with the people of the world that darkness has become the final destination for you. No, it is the time for you to listen to the Spirit of God. Come away from the noise. Come away from the noise. Come away from the confusion. Come away from the disorder and listen to the Spirit of God and speak the words that the Spirit of God hands over to you, and watch that situation transform from darkness into light. And I'll just read one more scripture before we go in for the break, and that is in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. He says, therefore be imitators of God. Now I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So if you have the King James Version, it's not going to read the same way. If you have an Amplified Bible, bring it out and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. It says, therefore be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. So you see, in a family where you know you have a father and a mother, what children begin to do is that they imitate their fathers and mothers. So if their fathers and mothers are using swear words when they meet with difficult situations, the children also will grow up to use swear words when they meet with difficult situations. But if their fathers and mothers are growing up to speak the word of God and to pray when they meet difficult situations, the children also will grow up to speak the word of God and to pray when they meet difficult situations. Essentially, what the Bible is saying here is that God is our heavenly Father, and we should imitate God and copy him and follow his example. What are the examples of God? God did not go out to rant on social media when he came across a difficult situation. God did not go out to lament to Angel Michael when he came across a difficult situation. What God did was to brood over the situation, to hover over the situation, and he came out with direct and specific words that he spoke over that situation. And Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So you see, he spoke into the darkness, and out of that darkness came light, and light became the eventual outcome of that situation. So it is very important, no matter how chaotic your situation is, it is time to follow the example of God, to speak the words of God, and watch light come out of the darkness of that situation. And I'll see you guys after the break.
Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Welcome back. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 10. We read verses 6 all the way to, 11. Yep. From verse 6, it says, "But the righteousness of which is of faith speaketh on this wise." So we see here that this is how God operates. And this is how the new creation man in Christ Jesus is expected to operate. He says, "Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So we see here that as a Christian, as a believer, God expects his word to be in your mouth and in your heart. And this is how it is expressed in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we see here a dual operation and a dual and synchronized operation of your mouth and your heart. Your mouth saying the same thing that your heart is also saying, i.e. your mouth saying what your heart believes in. And let's go to verses 10 and 11. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And we also shared last week, make sure you get the episodes 35 and 36, very powerful episodes, and this is episode 37 that we're on. We shared last week that the way to get God's word into your heart is to first of all start putting it into your mouth. And there is a spiritual process that happens when you begin to put God's word on your mouth on a daily and continual basis. And we saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21. It says, "Therefore shall you lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." So we see here, and it says, "Ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So what the Bible is saying is that you need a full-time commitment, a commitment to his word. As you go out on the streets, you plug your ears up, listening to God's word. As you lie down, you play God's word. As you walk around in your house, you have God's scriptures pasted upon your walls. You have confessions pasted upon your wardrobe, upon different places in your heart. So everywhere you are going, everywhere you turn to, you are seeing the word of God. The word of God is your screensaver on your television, on your iPad, on your phone, on your computer. That everything that is beaming at you is beaming the word of God. So we would need God's word to come into your heart through your eyes, through your ears, and through your mouth. So we need God's word to keep coming into your heart system through those gates, through your eye gate, through your ear gate, and through your mouth gate. So, and as that happens, what will then occur is that these words will be written upon your heart. So those words that were words of God that we're referring to will get written and inscribed upon the tables of your heart. In those days, when Moses was going to receive the commandments, he took canal tables, canal clay tables to God for God to inscribe the commandments. But under the new covenant, the laws of God are not written on physical tablets. The laws of God are written on the tables of our hearts. And the way those words will get written on the tables of our hearts for us to receive a manifestation is that we expose our ear gates, our mouth gates, and our eye gates to the entry of those words, so that those words from God will get written and inscribed upon the tables of our hearts. But just in case you're still mixed up about what I'm saying, that how are you sure that God's word is going to be written upon the tables of my heart? Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3. I've got many scriptures to drive this point home, that it matters what you are saying to yourself, what you are hearing with your ears, and that has a lot to do with what you will eventually believe in your heart. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now let's go to very quickly to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll read verses 3 and 4. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." So you see that your heart is a table that words get written upon. He says, "Write them upon the table of thine heart." So you see that it is your responsibility to ensure that the words of God are written upon the table of your heart. And the outcome of that operation, the Bible says, "So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Did you see that? So you see, if you are struggling today, your assignment, your major assignment today, is to take the word of God and to bind it around your neck and to write it upon the table of your heart. And as you are writing it upon the table of your heart, binding it around your neck, the Bible says, "So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So we see that an outward operation that is beyond your knowledge, beyond your understanding, beyond your manipulation, will begin to happen as you write those words upon the table of thine heart. Now let's look at another scripture again that will help us understand this again. Proverbs chapter 7 verses 1 to 3. It says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." So you see, God's words are to be kept. God's words are to be kept. They are to be kept. And he says, "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." So it means that your eyes are always seeking out the word of God. When you wake up, you want to read the word of God. You want to read that same word over and over and over again. And he says, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." In fact, in those days, what the Israelites used to do was that they had those little scriptures that they wrote them somewhere and bound them into something. And then they would tie those scriptures, they will tie them around, like around their foreheads as they are going. Some of those scriptures, they will even tie them in very little devices and tie them around their fingers as they are going. And all they are doing was that they wanted to bind those words and write those words upon the tables of their hearts, so that they don't forget, so that they are conscious of it. And the Bible says that when this happens, you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Let's open another scripture again. Let's go to Psalm 45 verse 1. Psalm 45 verse 1. I mean, this is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Look, forget about the outward situation. That situation is there. It is there. It is raging at you. Leave it alone. Come into God's presence and embrace his words and begin to speak those words and begin to write those words upon the tables of your heart. But leave the situation alone. And before you know what is happening, the Bible says you will find good understanding and favor in the sight of God and man. It means that things will then begin to happen on the outside beyond your human comprehension that will be in line with the words that you have written upon the tables of your heart. Now, Psalm 45 verse 1, he says, "My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So you see now that we've been talking about writing God's word upon the tables of your heart. But how are you going to write God's word upon the tables of your heart? I mean, you're not going to do that with a physical pen. I mean, you're not going to buy a Packer pen and start writing God's word upon your heart. Your Packer pen cannot even have access to your heart. But the way it happens is what David has explained in Psalm 45 verse 1. He says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Who is the writer? The writer is God, but your tongue is the pen of that ready writer. So it means that you have to engage your tongue continuously, non-stop. You have to engage your tongue. So how do you engage your tongue? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because my spouse is on his way, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you because my needs are met. Therefore, a God-fearing man who will love me, who will cherish me and honor me, is on his way into my life, in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a good wife, in the name of Jesus, that would look after me, that would take care of me, that is God-fearing. So you begin to declare those words repeatedly, and the Bible says my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And as you speak the words of God, as you speak the promises of God, what will then happen is that your tongue becomes the pen that God will use to inscribe those words upon the table of your heart. And as those words are inscribed upon the tables of your heart, the Bible says you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Now there's one more scripture I'm going to read before we go away, and that is Job chapter 22 verses 27 and 28. To wrap this up, he says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him. Job 22 verses 27 and 28. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing. Also means that you cannot complete the process until you do this one that has the also in it. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Oh, this is so powerful. Now he says, thou shalt also decree a thing. So it means that you are going to open your mouth and you're going to speak words, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Now let me explain this scripture to you. Very powerful. Now there is a situation you don't know your way out. You don't know your way out of this situation. There are some situations you might know your way out. Oh, you want a job, you go and apply for a job. So it appears you know the way out, right? You don't have a job. You know where the job market is or the job website. So you have a particular skill, a kind of job you can do. Then you go to that job site. There are 12 vacancies on that site. And then you apply for all 12 vacancies that fit you. It's because you know what to do. There are some situations you don't know what to do. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a situation where you don't know what to do. Imagine you applied for those 12 vacancies, and each of those 12 vacancies, they replied you, no, 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 no. And all 12 vacancies are gone. So what next are you going to do? What are you going to do next? You don't know what to do. But the Bible says that thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Now, the issue here is that God might have something else for you to do in that situation, but the job site does not know it. The job site cannot tell you, because you've applied to the job site, all the 12 vacancies, and all of them have replied, no, 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 no. So what do you do next? But as you are decreeing God's word, the Holy Spirit is able to show you something beyond the ordinary, something that you can do that will bring a manifestation into your situation. One day, a lady was believing God for a spouse. She was going to attend a church meeting. And the Lord impressed it upon her that day that make sure you go for that church event. Now, I'm not saying this is going to work for all of you. that God spoke to her. God has to speak to you your own thing. You don't imitate what other people are doing, but you put God's word on your lips and let God direct you the way he wants to direct you. So, and she decided to go. Now, before she left, she just knew that something strange was going to happen that day. And she was believing God for her spouse. And she decided that day that she was not going to wear 1 inch of makeup. She did not wear one single makeup. She did not wear it at all. And then she just went there. And then she got to that event. And while that event was going on, a man walked up to her and asked for her email address. During that, you know, church event, like a church person asked for her email address and just gave the guy, and you know, her email address. And the person did not even get in touch immediately, so it was not like she even thought anything was going to come out of it. But over the next 3 months, the person got in touch, they began to talk, and the guy was exactly what she asked God for in a man. So you see, God can tell you where to go, what to do to walk into the manifestation of that which you are believing God for. But the way it starts is that you are decreeing his promises, you are decreeing his word, and the light of God will shine upon your heart. Illumination will come into your heart telling you this is what to do, and you go for it, and it happens for you, and you receive a manifestation. The woman with the issue of blood decided that I am going to touch the hem of his garment after declaring his word and hearing his word, and she got a manifestation. The centurion decided that no, I am not going to touch him. He's not going to touch him. He's not going to touch my servant, but demanded that Jesus should speak the word only and his servant shall be healed. So manifestations are going to come out in different forms, but one central principle that you must not omit is the principle of hearing the word of God and speaking the word of God with your lips. And how your manifestation is going to come and evolve is left into the hands of the Spirit of God. Make sure you don't imitate another person's manifestation or another person's methods, but stay with God's word and let the word of God show you exactly what to do, and you will definitely walk in the manifestation of God's promises for your life, irrespective of how harsh the situation is, irrespective of the intensity of the darkness that is around you. Everybody can say, there's no husband, there's no man, there's no good woman, everybody. No, don't follow them to do that. God is able to bring illumination into your heart and supernaturally land your manifestation right before you without stress. Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, the ram that God wanted him to use was tied down. You don't have a ram tied down just like that. It was tied down and he walked to that ram. Your manifestation will be tied down for you, and you will not need to bend the rules to enter into your manifestation. Have a good week, you guys, and I'll catch you again next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow our Shaladio and our Soul Ties tweets. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com to read up on Soul Ties. To contact Shaladio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is KARIS. ministries.org. You can also chat with him on BBM by using the following pin: 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. We have come to the end of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. See you again same time next week. Jesus is Lord.